Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My sermon will be based today on the Holy Gospel appointed for this day. It concludes with this final verse. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a two-panel cartoon featuring Peter, the fisherman, the star of today's Holy Gospel lesson. In the first frame of the cartoon, Peter is standing in front of a sign company, a first century sign company. The man had just engraved in stone a number of signs that read, "Peter the Fisherman," and he has a big smile on his face. In the second frame, Jesus walks up to him in front of all those signs with "Peter the Fisherman" engraved in stone, and Jesus says to him, "From now on, your name will be Cephas." And he gets this sick look on his face because about all those signs that said, "Peter the Fisherman." Peter is an interesting character. He's a man to whom Jesus gave the new name Cephas, which really means rock, because of his rock-firm faith and confession of Jesus. And yet Peter was a very complex individual. He was bold and outspoken much of the time, but on the night when Jesus was betrayed, when a little girl, a servant girl, maybe 14, 15 years old, came up to him and said, "Weren't you also a follower of that man Jesus?" Peter denied three times that he even knew who Jesus was. Peter was a natural-born leader, but several years later, the Apostle Paul had to reprimand Peter because Peter was not standing firm for the gospel. In today's gospel, we see Peter at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, but it wasn't the first time that Jesus and Peter had had an encounter with each other. In the chapter before this, we read of the time when Jesus went into the home of Peter and healed his mother-in-law of a high fever. But that day when Jesus called out to Peter and said to him, "Follow me," that day became a day that changed Peter's life forever. And I do mean forever. You know, we often greet people by saying, "How's your day going?" And sometimes they'll say, "Oh, it's going great." Other days they'll say, "Not so good." And sometimes if somebody is really very, very honest, they'll say to us, "To tell you the truth, I'm having a really rotten day." If Jesus had asked Peter that day, "How's your day going, Peter?" he honestly would have answered by saying, "Tell you the truth, Jesus, I'm having a really rotten day." He'd been fishing all night and caught nothing. Peter was a fisherman, not the kind of sports fisherman that some of us may be, but he was a commercial fisherman. He owned his own boat and everything. As we read the text, it looks like these two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, and another set of brothers, James and John, worked together as a company, commercial fishing company there on Lake Galilee. They owned their own fishing business. Now, commercial fishing is hard work. The hours are terrible since, of course, the best fishing is done at night or early morning. And they had no guaranteed income. If they didn't catch anything, they didn't make any money. Being a commercial fisherman back then was like being a professional golfer today. Now, unlike many other sports players, baseball players, football players, basketball players, who have big contracts and are guaranteed so much money, whether they win or lose, professional golfers only make money if they win the game. Peter and James and John were the kind of people who didn't make any money if they didn't catch any fish. I'm sure many of us watched the dull Super Bowl game last week. And in that game, the Los Angeles Rams quarterback was a 24-year-old man named Jared Goff, who lost the Super Bowl game, but still received a contract last year of $2.5 million. That's pretty good money for a 24-year-old kid. Whether he wins or loses, he gets the money. But if a professional golfer doesn't play well, then he doesn't make any money. And if a commercial fisherman doesn't catch any fish, then he doesn't make any money earlier. Sometimes a fisherman will spend a whole night fishing and end up with nothing to show for all of his hard work of throwing his net on one side of the boat and sweeping it up empty, throwing it out on the other side of the boat and bringing it up empty, moving the boat a few yards elsewhere, throwing it down, bringing it up empty, all night long bringing it up empty, nothing to show for all of his hard work. Yes, if Jesus had asked Peter that day, "Well, Peter, how's your day going?" Peter could honestly have answered, "To tell you the truth, Jesus, I'm having a really rotten day." But Jesus, on the other hand, was having a pretty good day, a very good day, because crowds of people, large crowds, were coming to hear Jesus speak the word of God to them. Every preacher for the past 2,000 years is thrilled, like on Easter Sunday when the church is filled to overflowing and they have to set up extra chairs in the back or along the side aisles. When the big crowds come, preachers are thrilled, and so Jesus had a good day as large crowds were coming. As the crowds kept pushing and pushing, they were practically pushing him into the lake, into the water. And so Jesus turned to the fishermen and said, "Hey guys, can I borrow one of your boats for a little bit?" They said, "Sure, go ahead." So he took the boat and went out a few yards from shore as the crowds were crowding in on him and preached to them from the shore of Lake Galilee. After that, then, Jesus saw the disciples. When he was done preaching and teaching, he saw Peter, Andrew, James, and John working at their nets. Because when you're done fishing, you don't just throw the nets in a corner and go home, but you clean them off, dry them out, fold them neatly so that they'll be ready to go the next day. After that, they would try to catch a few hours sleep and wake up and do the whole thing all over again the next night. So Jesus walked over to the fishermen, and he did something that no preacher should ever do when he's around a fisherman. He tried to give them advice on how to fish. Now, I'm not particularly good at keeping my mouth shut when I should. I have often gotten myself into trouble, and my wife can attest to it, by opening my mouth and saying the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong people. But even I know enough not to try someone who is an experienced fisherman, not to try to tell them who spent a whole night fishing what they should do next. That sort of thing just isn't done. But Jesus did it. Jesus said to Peter, "Why don't you try again? Go out into the deep water and cast your nets on the side of the boat into the deeper water." And I'll try to give the right vocal inflection to Peter's response to Jesus. If you just read it in the Bible, you really need to put some vocal inflection behind it. And Peter says, "Look, Lord, we've been at this all night long. We know what we're doing. We've caught nothing." But then he adds, "But at your word, I'll try one more time just to make you happy." And you know what happened. They caught so many fish that their nets were practically tearing. They had a call to their partners in the other boat to come, and both boats were ready to sink, and they filled both boats with all the fish they caught. Think about that for a minute. When they did it right, the way human wisdom says is the right way to fish, they caught nothing. But when they did it the way Jesus told them to do it, even though anybody who knows anything about fishing knows you don't catch fish in the daytime, when you're fishing with a net, you don't go into the deep water. But when they did what Jesus told them to do, they caught the most fish they'd ever caught in their entire lives. It reminds me of what St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when he talks about the difference between human wisdom and God's wisdom. Quoting from Isaiah, St. Paul cites the verse where God says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." And then St. Paul adds, "Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" And then he comes to this conclusion: God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. What really struck me as I read this gospel text again in preparation for today was that last sentence. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now just think about that for a minute. This was the biggest catch of fish that Peter and Andrew, James and John had ever caught in their lives. And they just walked away from it in order to follow Jesus. Not only did they walk away from the fish, which they could have sold at the local fish market for a lot of money, but they also walked away from their boats and their nets and their tackle boxes and all their equipment. Can you just imagine what Peter's wife must have said to him that night? "You caught how many fish? Oh, wow, and great, and how much did you get for them at the fish market?" "What? You walked away from them? You didn't even sell them, and then you walked away from your boat and your nets and your tackle boxes? Peter, what's wrong with you? You're acting crazy." And I'm sure the other fishermen there along the shores of Lake Galilee felt the same way about Peter. "Hey, did you hear what Peter did and Andrew and James and John? They walked away from a fortune to follow that religious teacher from Nazareth named Jesus. Can you believe it?" And here is where this text challenges you and me today. What would you walk away from if Jesus called you to leave everything and follow him? What would you be willing to leave behind if Jesus called you to leave everything and follow him? All through the centuries, there have been people who have left behind jobs, careers, even fortunes in order to follow Jesus. In the year 1209 AD, a young man named Francis, the son of a wealthy cloth merchant in Assisi, Italy, heard the call of God and walked away from his family fortune, giving all of his worldly goods to the poor and becoming a monk. Today we know him as Saint Francis of Assisi. In 1505, a young and very gifted law student named Martin Luther gave up a promising career as a lawyer to enter the Augustinian monastery so he could serve God. Mother Teresa came from a very wealthy family, but gave up inheriting her family's fortune in order to become a nun and devoted her life to helping the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. One of my former vicars, when I was a pastor in Pittsburgh, gave up a six-figure income, sold his business in order to study to become a pastor. And a few years ago, a top prospect for the Oakland Athletics named Grant Desby made the public announcement that he was walking away from a very lucrative baseball contract with a very sizable salary in order to become a priest. Each of those people gave up their earthly human security and walked away from it as they responded to Jesus' call, "Follow me." Most of the time when we enter into a business arrangement with somebody, or try to make a deal with somebody, we'll ask, "Well, what's in it for me?" Several months after Peter and Andrew, James and John left their jobs, their boats, and their livelihoods behind them, Peter asked Jesus. He said, "See, Lord, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And Jesus replied to Peter, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. We may not see the answer to what's in it for me in this life, but Jesus always stretches our horizon and calls us to look beyond this life. Jesus calls us to look beyond what we can see and hear and touch and taste and feel with our five senses. Jesus calls us to look through the eyes of faith and see the eternal dimension of following Him, the eternal life that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. Or as a bumper sticker I once saw put it, "Follow Christ. The pay isn't great, but the retirement plan is out of this world." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds secure in Christ Jesus through life everlasting. Amen.